Well, within Australia's rich test history, there's a small exclusive club at the heart of the game. They are the drummer of the band, the keeper of the beat. The Keepers, the players at the heart of Australian cricket, tells that tale. And its author, award-winning cricket writer Malcolm Knox, joins me now. Malcolm, congratulations on the book. It's a fascinating read. How was the idea hatched?
The idea was hatched out of probably a hint that you left in your introduction, that it is such an exclusive group. When you look at wicketkeepers, there are only 33 compared to 45 captains. There are only 11 wicketkeepers who've kept wicket in almost 90% of the test matches Australia has played. So I thought if anybody could tell the real story of Australian test cricket, it would be those very small number of custodians.
Can you tell us about some of the keepers you did speak to and how you went about finding them and telling their tale?
Yeah, of the 33, 19 are still alive, so it's a good share. I spoke to nearly all of them, including Len Maddox, who is now the oldest living Australian test cricketer. Len's almost 90, and he was keeper in the mid-1950s, right through to having an extended chat with Brad Haddon, who's just retired. In fact, Brad Haddon played his last test match about a week before the book went to the printer. So I was a little bit late to get the Peter Neville story in there, but extended with Brad Haddon. And look, some of them were very hard to get. Tim Zura took some time to track down. He was driving a taxi in Perth.
Wow.
And, we actually had a chat while he drove me around in his taxi. Another Kevin Wright took months and months to find because he'd been living in Asia. One of the really fascinating things about wicketkeepers is that many of them are highly intelligent individuals who've had very successful careers outside of cricket and after cricket. And it was really, really intriguing to see the different things they'd done with their lives.
You've covered cricket for a very long time, but while putting this book together, what did you learn about why the role as a wicketkeeper is so unique?
Well, look, I think at the heart of it is the fact that there's only one in a team, and he's an unacknowledged leader of the team. He provides intelligence to the bowlers. He can see the field through the batsman's eyes in a way that really no other cricketer on the field can. He's there all the time, so he has this kind of durability. Bob Simpson said that the wicketkeeper is the last person in the team you want to change, and it's true. A good cricket team generally has a very stable wicketkeeper. They have to be tough. They often have to, or they choose to conceal injuries because they're so almost paranoid about their position, that if they have felt through the years that if they succumb to an injury and give the other guy a chance, that could be it. That could be it for 10 years. And there are many cases where that paranoia has been justified.
Just touching on that injury aspect that you just mentioned, I enjoyed towards the end where there was a chapter where it noted that in October last year, Brad Haddon hurt his shoulder during the Pakistan tour and played through, noting that Dave Warner could have filled in for him and had fun for 10 minutes, then wouldn't have been able to move. He would have been so sore. And Haddon added that everyone thinks they can keep wickets until they actually have to do it.
yeah.
Do you think that the keeping craft is underestimated?
I do. And there's another funny story about Brad Haddon where in the first test match he played, which was in the West Indies at age 30, when he came in after Adam Gilchrist's retirement, and at the very beginning of the test match, Brad broke his finger. And Mike Hussey looked at him, and Mike Hussey was probably the guy who was next in line if they needed an emergency wicketkeeper. And he just said to Brad Haddon, he said, "Don't even look at me. don't even think about it." Look, they do have to be unique in that endurance of pain. And I remember when I was a kid growing up and seeing pictures of Rod Marsh's fingers and the devastation that had been wrought on his fingers through taking the ball from Jeff Thompson and Dennis Lilly, and the number of breaks of his fingers. Ian Healy's fingers are a mess. Some of them have beautiful fingers. I remember looking at Barry Jarman's fingers, keeper in the 1960s, fingers like a piano player's, and he said that he never broke his fingers at all. But it's not just fingers; it's the going down in crouches, the leg work, the strain on the back. Several keepers have had their teeth knocked out. Mm. It takes, other cricketers tend to say to be a wicketkeeper, you have to be a little bit crazy. And I think there's a bit of truth in that.
The insight into Brad Haddin is a real highlight of the book, and I'm sure you probably could write a whole book on him. And as a cricket follower, much of it can be cross-checked as you read, because he's the most current keeper. You would have learned so many bits and pieces speaking to him in such detail.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pity that he's been so media shy over the years, because he's a terrific guy, and he's one of those people that have, in a difficult era for Australian cricket, he really was the glue that held that team together. But I have to say, when you talk about the nitty-gritty of wicketkeepers and the type of things wicketkeepers talk about among themselves, he really does open up, and a person who loves the craft and the work of wicketkeeping more than Brad Haddin, I don't think you could ever find.
Mm. There's nothing like an expert opinion, and you asked the experts, the keepers, to select their best. What did they have to say?
Yeah, well, look, I think really only wicketkeepers can judge other wicketkeepers, because they see so many things the rest of us don't see, and they see the invisible things for us, we may not appreciate the finer details of keeping. Generally, among the living test keepers, Ian Healy would come out on top as a gloveman. Don Tallon, among the old timers, he was such an influential keeper who others copied, a great, great wicketkeeper. Adam Gilchrist, several of the living test wicketkeepers wanted to stand up for Gilly, because they said, he was such a good batsman, people underestimated what a great wicketkeeper he was as well. So probably those three, and maybe Rod Marsh as well, for his influence over the years, stand out among the keepers as the best that they've seen.
And finally, the first test of the Australian summer is a few weeks away, and a new era behind the stumps has begun. Peter Neville will resume with the gloves, but how do you see the next generation of keepers coming through?
Well, we are in a golden age of wicketkeeping around the world, that is. We're probably not in a great age for batting and bowling, but certainly wicketkeepers in the post Gilchrist generation. We've had people like Sangakkara, De Villiers, Dhoni, McCullum coming out here this summer from New Zealand, who has kept, he may not keep in test matches, but we have had a really rich crop. And in Australia, there's not much to separate the next group of keepers, people like Neville, Wade, Payne, Hartley and so on, Sam Whiteman from WA, all very, very good keepers coming through. Ryan Carter's from New South Wales, yeah. Not a lot to separate them. Peter Neville has the jump at the moment, but I think whoever they settle on, they'll have had a chance to really pick from some good ones.
Well, Malcolm, thank you so much for your time today. The Keepers, the Players at the Heart of Australian Cricket by Malcolm Knox, is available in bookshops and online now.
Thanks, Megan. Nice to talk to you.